Wonderful, wonderful, worshipful song. And it is so awesome to be in God's house and have visitors with us today and just be able to come and worship together. And I tell you, Friday was a very, very special day in our country, much more special than Tuesday. Amen? But Friday was Veterans Day. And I always like to take a moment and remember and be thankful for the veterans that served in our church. And I want to ask you if you would just stand for a moment all over the church. If you served in any way at any time, would you stand here? And amen. Look at Brother Brian. Look at Brother Brian. Let's take a moment, and we'll start here at Phil and work our way back, and just tell us what branch and what time and or anything you want to share with us. What, Phil? Let's pray together. Lord, I'm sorry, I missed Brian, right? Thanks for correcting me, y'all. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, words cannot express, Lord, our thankfulness for these in our church that have served and sacrificed so much, Lord. And for all the veterans, Lord, in our country. For all those that are serving right now, Lord. Lord, all the things we've experienced, Lord. The freedom to have an election. The freedom to protest. The freedom to come to church. Lord, all has been by your grace and mercy. And by the sacrifice, Lord, and even of giving lives, Lord, by those who've served our country. So we're very humbled this morning in your presence and in their presence, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to let them feel our thankfulness and continue to bless them and continue, Lord, to let us remember, Lord, that freedom in Christ and the freedom to worship and the freedom to share the gospel is still freedom we're fighting for, Lord. And we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Thank you so much. Hope you brought your Bibles. If you didn't, there's one there in the pew in front of you, and I want to invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 32. Matthew 10, 32. And if you're physically able, will you stand in the honor of reading God's Word? And Brian, you really grabbed my heart when you stood. It reminded me, I saw a young boy in a wheelchair standing for the national anthem just this week online, and just, man, we're just so thankful. Matthew 10, 32. Right before we read, I want to reemphasize what I said from the baptismal pool, and that is there's nothing, and there's never been a time in our world that we must continue to look to God's Word. Amen. We must take all of our opinions, all of our ways, all of our thoughts, everything we see, and we must go to the Bible to get our answers and directions. Amen. I was so thankful, and let me just share this testimony. I was so thankful this week of all that we've seen transpire in our country this week and all we continue to see. My devotion habit, if I share it often, I'll read Oswald Chambers, "My utmost for his highest," there's one for every day. I read the Proverbs, there's one for every day. And I found that not in searching additionally, as I did do some searching for some things for this message, but just in that habit of the same devotion I would have had no matter what was going on in life, I stand amazed in God's glory and honor for how the answers and explanations and understanding that God gave me about the things that I was seeing and hearing. Only God's word can do that, amen? And I'm so excited. I didn't have to go. I wasn't even searching for things, and God would just give an answer. And I encourage you, if you don't have that day, that time during the day that you get alone with the Lord in your word and prayer, man, I encourage you, don't go another day. Matthew 10 and verse 32. Jesus says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Dear God, I pray that, Lord, that you might allow me to step aside. And I want to humble myself before you and ask for your anointing upon me and my mouth, every heart and every ear that's listening, Lord. And we want to understand the truth of your word. Lord, I want you to help us understand our personal condition before you this morning. I want you to help us understand the things that we see that are happening in our country and surrounding us. And more importantly, I want us to see, Lord, the truth and the direction. And help us to see your way, Lord, above every other way that's being lifted up in our world. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We be seated. So many things of the past few weeks, and I was amazed that God had led me to this scripture for this Sunday, not just about what's happened in our country elections, not just about what's going on in families or going on in church, but simply in this passage, I want us to look along these lines, and this is this. What I just read to you is Jesus himself describing this fact. Jesus causes division. Jesus causes division. He says there in verse 34, literally, read it with me again, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." I've said it recently. There was an image from Revelation, Brother Scott, that we looked at in Sunday school of Jesus with that conquering, thundering, fiery judgment. And we made the comment in Sunday school, I don't see that picture and offer in people's house of Jesus Christ. I don't see a picture often in people's homes of Jesus Christ with this sword that he brings, and that the powerful statement he makes about peace, not coming to bring peace but a sword, it really goes contrary to things that often are natural and normal and desires that we really want for ourselves and even for our country. See, Jesus causes division. That's what he's talking about. That's what we find throughout the entire Bible. See, in the Bible we have the division. There's the saved and there's the lost. There's heaven and there's hell. There's good and there's evil. There's light and there's darkness. There's obedience and rebellion, which is sin. There's truth and there's lies. And there's his way and there's your way. You know, I've heard the statement for several months now, and we heard it very clearly. There's a statement that's being made. And whenever I hear a statement, whether it's from my own mind and thinking or from one of you or on the internet or TV, immediately in my mind, I want my mind to be drawn at least into what is the truth of that? What does God have to say about that? And that statement that we've had often is that in the United States that we are a divided nation. You've heard that, right? We're a divided nation. Almost half and half people voted for one or the other candidate. And you know what's interesting to do? I did a quick search yesterday, and there's about 233 Yes, 233 million people in the United States. And so what tells you is that only about 50%, 56% voted, so it's about 100 million people that didn't even vote. We don't often think about that group, do we? See, they say our nation's divided. Donald and Hillary didn't divide our nation. Republicans and Democrats didn't divide our nation. The election this week didn't divide our nation. See, Jesus causes division. Jesus caused division when God sent his only begotten Son to come and to reveal and let us know about our sinful nation and our nature and the desire that if we didn't turn to him, if we didn't realize and accept him as our Savior, that he came and that he died and he on that cross and he rose again, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. That's when the division began. Amen? Jesus caused division when in John 14, verse 6, listen to what the Bible says. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to me but by my Father. That's when division really began. And we need to understand that practically, and we need to really realize that, listen, there's division everywhere, and Jesus brings division. He laid out for us in the passage read in Matthew 10 that what he's saying is he'll bring division between husbands and wives, between children and mothers and fathers, and there's no greater importance or no area we care more about than that. Amen? I mean, so he's saying, I've come and I'll put a sword. I'm not come into your family, into your relationships. I've not come to bring peace. I've come to bring this sword. And we'll talk about the sword a little more later. See, far more important than what's on my mind, I really believe what's on your mind. We don't hear it talked about much on the news. We don't talk about it as much. But the fact is, there's husband and wives that are divided. Amen? You may be here, sitting here this morning, and there may be no one that really knows, but really, you and your husband or wife, you're really divided on some major things right now. Children and parents are divided, amen? Many different circumstances and things, and division is often blamed on, you know, lack of agreement or things that have been said or haven't said or done. But listen, remember, the division between our country, the division of husband and wife, the division of children, Jesus is bringing that division. That's going to bring, not only does he bring division, but we're going to see he brings an answer to that division. And by the way, the only answer, amen? There's no politician, there's no group, there's no getting together, there's no meetings that are going to solve the division. Families are divided. We often find that in the case, and just over the weekend, it's such a privilege to travel with Keith and Phyllis up to see her daughter and just continue as that. Keith, I told the church two things we've seen. I said, pray for Miss Phyllis. Man, what a trooper she is, what challenges she has. But I said, I hope that if that happens to my wife, that I can be the servant that Brother Keith is. We even, in progress of time of traveling and talking, we're talking of different family things. And in everybody's family, in my family, and Keith's family, and all of your family, some part in your extended family, there's some divisions on some level. Things have happened. There may be a little healing, but there's divisions, amen, in families. And Jesus is talking in Matthew 10 about really his desire. Hey, I mean, listen, you think you got division now? You let the Word of God, you let Jesus of the God, and you open yourself up and let him do what he says. You let him come in, and he says, I'm not coming to bring peace. I'm bringing a sword. I'm bringing to shake this thing up for the purpose of getting us right where he wants us, okay? You let him do that, and you'll begin to find division, probably more harsh divisions than you've got. Y'all right? It's what the Bible says, not what the preacher says. Churches are divided. We pray often, and we believe scripture. We be at the altar and pray for unity. But there's division in churches. And by the way, Jesus Christ brings division. It's not always the preacher. It's not always the deacons. It's not always anybody else. Jesus will bring division. He doesn't segregate the church out. Amen? Schools are divided. I saw the most almost funny story to tell. And there's some very serious things that divide our country. I can't remember the Christian artist. There's an old song I remember hearing that in that song it carries the idea that used to be that the trouble in school was chewing gum and fighting, and now it's guns and everything else. Amen. Schools are divided. If you're in school, whether it's elementary school or middle school or high school or college, you know, there's different groups, especially getting to college, amen, Davey. I mean, there's a lot of divisions on the campuses. I remember in high school, there was a group of people, God is my witness, I'm telling the truth, no puns or no message intended over the facts, but there were a group of guys, and they were a pretty rough kind of crowd, David, at school, and they came up, they decided to form a gang, okay? Now, you know a high school gang, you know, so they're going to have to form a gang. You know what the name of the gang was? The Deacons. Think about that and where I ended up. The Deacons were the gang. They're a pretty rough crowd, you know, and so some of us and our friends, we decided, well, you know, yeah, how is this school? Hey, we're going to have our own gang. And we had the most awesome foundation for a gang, though. We had a guy, a friend of ours, he could draw like crazy. He was a crazy artist. He drew this awesome scorpion. He pencil sketched the scorpions. We were the scorpions, amen? I mean, just silly stuff that happens like that. But then that can really go on and on. We never did anything. We never protested, by the way. We never fought. But there's division in schools, and there's division at work, amen? Some of you now have got that person that you just, you know, I don't want to talk about this week, and, you know, better not talk about this, you know. And I know Marty says, pray for him at the bank, become one of the most politically correct places in the world. And I stood amazed. God talked to Marty, but I had to go online to look for something last night, and I went to my bank account, right on the front page, Marty, and maybe you can help me with the exact wording, but they have a statement, and it's a big right in the middle, and it says something to the effect of that love has no labels. We are a diverse company, and love has no labels. Wrong. According to the Bible, love has labels, amen? And it's Jesus Christ as he defines love and defines life. So, work, we're divided. Here's what people think and say, and listen, just take this for what it's worth, and I've been guilty of thinking this way, probably saying this way, I'll find that you have too, but people think and say, now that's a dangerous statement right there I'm getting ready to make, first of all, people think and say. I had an old preacher years ago that helped me a lot, and he said that we have stinking thinking, amen, but people think and say, listen to this, we need to come together, and we need to put our differences aside and be united. Yo, I'm sitting there in amazement, you know, and no matter who you voted, whatever, they ain't the answer, amen, okay? I'm going to tell you that, but I was standing amazed at what's going on now. Then people fought and fussed, I mean, just for killing one another. And now what are they doing? Oh, well, we're just going to come together, and we just, you know, it's almost crazy, isn't it? It's almost crazy what's going on. It's political correctness, amen? It's a thing to say. We need to be united, and we need to go together. We need to work together. We need to put our differences aside for the common good and come together. Amen? We need to accept everyone the way that they are and sit down together and just sing kumbaya. Amen? That's what people say. What we need to do is come to Jesus. Amen? We need to come to Jesus and his word. And I really believe that's why God's brought us to, as we always come to his word, he's brought us to his word that is going to help us understand about what causes division. I've already said it's Jesus. We read it in the word to have an understanding where we go from here. Because I'm telling you, what people say and think in the way of anybody apart from Jesus Christ and his word is wrong. Amen? I had one sometime a couple of years ago, somebody called me and they said, preacher, I need to talk to you about some things. And he said, I've heard people say some things. And he said the first thing, and I said, that's a lie. And it really took him back. And he said, hey, I don't mean anything by it. I'm just sharing with you what's going on. He said the second thing, I said, that's a lie. He said, preacher, I didn't mean to make you. I said, I'm not mad at all. But I said, when I hear a lie, I'm going to call it a lie. He said the third thing, I said, that's a lie. Y'all right? And so we need to, when we hear people, when you hear, you've got to take everything through the filter of God's word, amen, and understand what people are saying. Oswald Chambers, I mention his devotion often, and I was reading this week and listen to what he said, and it's a question for us all. Listen to this. He said, am I getting nobler, better, and more helpful, more humble as I get older? And am I exhibiting the life that men take knowledge of, that I have been with Jesus? Or am I getting more self-assertive? Am I getting more deliberately determined to have my own way? It is a great thing to tell yourself the truth. See, that's what Jesus, in Acts 4:13, there's a picture of people who have been with Jesus. And what it says in Acts 4:13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And that's what Jesus desires. He says, be with him. Now, how many, don't raise your hand, but how many of you, man, you were watching that election Tuesday? Man, those results are coming in. And then some of you are like me. You're like, man, they have already said this thing, the answer ain't going to be tonight, you know, and you're trying to go to bed. And then all of a sudden, I remember we tried to go to bed, and we were just, me and Santa were talking in bed, and we cut off the TV, you know, and just let it go, you know. And then Santa got to go to the bathroom, so I'm so I'm going to, you know, get on the TV, and don't look at me like that. Some of you stayed the whole time, then you cut the TV off. And I'm going to cut it on. Hey, and God's grace, mercy, when I cut it on, just in the moment, they gave the answer. Now, when's the last time you were up in the middle of the night trying to listen to Jesus about something was going on? When's the last time you were in the middle of the night trying to get an answer from him? What the result of your prayer? What's the result of what's going on? When's the last time that you were up, you were seeking him? Y'all, we got problems as we care more about what we think and say and our way versus other people's way. We're all as bad as all the news commentary. We all have our opinion and our word we slide in. When Jesus says, hey, when you go out, my desire is that people will just know that you've been with me and been with your word, and that's how we talk and speak and act. In 1974, and I'm dating myself, I was 10 years old. See, y'all know I love Jeeps. I got an old 74 Jeep. So I remember I looked today. I didn't know it was 74. But 1974, Burger King had this ad campaign. Some of you younger people ain't going to know what I'm talking about. You know, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Listen, Burger King had this ad campaign. This is what it was. They said, have it your way. Have it your way. If you want to get one of the biggest laughs and want to understand chapter 10 and get a care on this message, for you, for the end of the day, just Google that, Burger King, have it my way, and the 1 minute advertisements, right? Take 1 minute of your time. It's hilarious. If I'd had time to set it up and get it done, I'd have shown it to you today. But listen to this. Have it your way. That's 1974. Well, things have changed a lot over the years, amen? They've changed a lot since 1974, but that ad, have it your way, listen, they were talking about hamburgers, y'all, and the world that we live in has adopted that kind of thinking that started long before the Burger King commercial, and, you know, it's just have it your way. So I listened to that commercial. I'm not going to try to sing it for you, but I got the chorus here. Have it your way, have it your way, have it your way, Burger King. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders, they don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way. We can serve you broiled beef whopper, fresh with everything on top, or any way you think is proper, have it your way. Have it your way, have it your way. Y'all, they were talking about hamburgers, not your life. But in searching, I found this. Found this, it'd be like a little placard. That sign that had been in the store then. Listen to this. Remember, everything people say, everything people do, everything going around you means something. Listen to this. Burger King logo, have it your way. I can't even believe what I'm getting ready to read you. You have the right to have what you want exactly when you want it. Because on the menu of life, you are today's special and tomorrow's. And the day after that. And, well, you get the drift. Yes, that's right. We may be the king. Now listen to this. But you, my friend, are the almighty ruler. That is why Jesus said, I don't come to bring peace. I come to bring division whenever anyone begins to, and y'all know what I'm talking about. Every one of you personally, that is the world we live in. People have thought that, hey, I can have it my way. And for a long time now, people are saying, yes, you can have it your way. And well-intended, even good-meaning Christian people, even churches, are backing away more and more from his way and his word and beginning to let people have it their way. And that's why we're in the mess we're in. I'm used to seeing images of leaders being burned in effigy in foreign countries who are much farther from God than we are. Amen? There's division. And there is no president. There is no meeting. There's nothing that's going to stop the division because Jesus causes it. Turn me to 1 Corinthians. And Don't turn 1 Corinthians. I don't have time. I'm going to read you a passage in Colossians. I've got so much here. But in Colossians 3, 12 through 17, listen to what the Bible says. Put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. That takes care of all your protests and all your ugly talking, all everything. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Amen. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, ye also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye also are called one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's what we've done today. It's why you come to church. Amen. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Look back with me quick, and I'll finish up in the 3 minutes I've got. Matthew 10:34, it says the sword of Jesus. It causes divisions, but that same sword causes correction of those divisions. It reveals your separation from Jesus and restores unity with Jesus. It reveals our problems and provides a real solution. What is this sword? What is the sword he's talking about? It's found in Ephesians 6:17. In Ephesians 6:17, the Bible says, I prayed this passage this morning for the armor of God. You ought to pray it every morning. But in that passage about the armor of God, the Bible says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's the sword. So what Jesus is saying is this. If Davy and Brooke are having problems, what I pray they do on their own, so I don't have to, but I will. If they're having division in their life and relationship, and boy, a baby's coming, and boy, that's going to change things. Amen? Amen? Then what the Bible is saying is you just take the sword. And the sword comes in, and the sword says, hey, you got division. I'm not going to bring peace in this relationship till you both get and let the sword bring you the word of God in his way, and that's the only solution. Nope, I'm just using an example. They're close by. They ain't having no marriage trouble that I'm aware of. Say, Ray was lost at one time before he was coming to church here. At that time, Ray, what God say is he's going to bring that sword between you and Colette, okay? Bring your sword between y'all and save friends. I'm bringing that sword. I'm going to bring peace between you and the church folk, peace between you and anybody else. I'm putting the sword in there, and that sword is going to cause trouble and change and turmoil, but that same sword is going to be the way to stop all that division, all that turmoil. Amen? He just bring it in the center of church, put it right in the center of church. God say, hey, division in the church, well, it's all about his way, not my way, not your way, all about his way. Hey, I challenge you. Some of you husband and wives, don't be bold enough. The Holy Spirit leads you. Take your Bible. You ain't got to say a word. You get home later today, you take your Bible out and lay it between the two of you. Man, the Holy Spirit will start working. Amen? That's why don't look for much change in the country. They ain't using this. Amen? Amen. You ever hear the word Jesus in a debate? You hear the Bible in a debate? See, Jesus Christ, and I read the scripture earlier. It was there in John 14:16. He said, I am the way. So don't. I just hope we can all get together and things can get better and we just get on. You know, the translation that's for a lot of people. Man, I hope we start making more money than we've ever made before and we don't get no attacks from anybody and we can just go be happy. Amen? It's one reason God gave us this verse, Chris. What's Jesus say he came to do? I'm put a sword. I love it, y'all. That explains everything. That's why there's all these divisions there. Jesus brings them. And he brings the sword in. He causes the division and trouble. And then he'll give the answers. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? But he says, I am the way. It's kind of funny sharing about Burger King, but one last image. In Genesis, well, turn there with me. It's easy to find. Some of y'all say, thank goodness he's giving me a Genesis passage. Genesis 3 and verse 24. Genesis 3:24. Adam and Eve have sinned. They've had it their way. They followed the devil's way, so they got their way. And now they're back to where God's going to have his way. Genesis 3:24, the Bible says, so he drove out the man. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim, look very closely, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Do you know what that means? Do you know if God hadn't have done that, Adam and Eve could have lived in their sin for all eternity, and we could have too, and every day they'd just walk back over that tree of life, and they'd live forever in their sin. That's what it's talking about. That flaming sword is that same Spirit of God. It's the same. Remember the Bible said the Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ was that sword. That sword, that flaming sword, still stands in the spiritual sense, separating you today if you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ. But that same sword that will stand in the way and keep you in division and trouble and keep you away and keep you out of heaven is the same sword that says, I'll turn it from being a sword of protecting my holiness and putting a distance between us. He said, I'll make that a same. If you'll just turn to me, if you'll just come to me, I'll take that same sword and it'll be a sword that'll protect you, answer all your questions, show you the way, help divisions in your with your children and with your husband and wife and with your church and with your work. Hey, he said, it'll be a protecting sword. But Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. There is no peace apart from encountering the sword of the Lord, His Word, His Spirit. For the first time in salvation, or for us that know Jesus, every day, repenting, confessing, being corrected. Would you bow with me? See, some of you are looking for a peace, but you want it without the sword. That's impossible. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, I literally beg you. The Bible calls this the day of salvation. So there's never been a day and a place and a time when you turned your life over to Him. It's characterized by you begin to be passionate about sharing Him, passionate about His Word, serving in His church, sharing Jesus with others. That's what the Bible describes it means to be saved. The Bible says when He comes in and brings that sword in turmoil, some of you are experiencing that right now in your heart and soul because you know your life, you know your ways. But He says, He promises in the Bible that He has a peace that passes understanding. Abby sang about it. What He can do for you. Oh, I beg of you, come. Because if you've not experienced that, I don't know that you'll get home. A wreck could take your life. A heart attack could take your life. And it'd be eternally too late. And that flaming spiritual sword will keep you divided eternally from God. How about it, Christian? Is there too much of your way in your life? Too much of the world's way in your life? What an awesome time to come to this altar and surrender and say, God, I want to base everything I think, say, and do, all I hear on Your Word. Lord, help me to know that You are the way. And the only way. Maybe you've got divisions that we've talked about and you just want to come to the altar and say, God, I sense that sword. I understand now why there's division. So, dear God, I'm seeking You through that same sword, through Your Word, to help guide me through. But to help me stand strong on Your Word, as the Bible says, stand strong in sharing the truth in love. Regardless of what anyone on the other side of the division does. Maybe you've never been baptized but saved and you want to come and publicly acknowledge Jesus saved you and be a candidate for next baptism. Maybe God's called you to be part of the church family. You want to come make that commitment to Him today. Do it His way. Whatever the need is, we're going to do in this song, is your time to respond to Him. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Yeah, please stand and join me.